coming up on Sunrise Sports.
We all brought it back the second round and came from fourth to first. So, I mean, that was a really cool win for us because when we got told that we won, we're like, wait, what? Really?
The women's golf team is fresh off a tournament championship. Sunrise Sports took a look at how the team has turned around the program.
One and only chance I had an NCAA national title. It's my one shot and I lost by 2 inches.
One silky thrower from the track and field team is a two-time national champion, and one came just inches away. We take a look at the two athletes who are leading the way for SIU. All that and more is coming up on Sunrise Sports right now.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Sunrise Sports, the perfect way to start your Saturday morning. Silky softball will renew their rivalry with the Creighton Blue Jays later today. We'll explore one of the most successful teams at SIU. I'm Rob Jesselson.
And I'm Curtis Sheehan. The Silky baseball team opened up their conference season yesterday. We recap their game with the Bradley Braves and preview today's matchup. Rob has more with the story.
The Silky baseball team started their conference schedule yesterday at home, hosting the Braves from Bradley. The Dogs came into the game on a 4-game losing streak, where the pitching has been struggling as of late, ranking last in the Missouri Valley Conference. Left-handed pitcher Cody Forsythe got the call to the mound for SIU, searching for his first win of the season. The southpaw had his troubles early in the game, giving up 3 runs in the first inning alone. The Dogs' defense didn't help him either, garnering up 2 unearned runs with an error in the opening frame. The Dogs finished the game with a total of 3 errors, giving them a total of 57 on the year already. Forsythe calmed down and battled back in the game. After giving up a total of 4 runs in the first 2 innings, he allowed just 1 more in the game, an unearned run. Coach Ken Henderson says he thought Forsythe battled through and pitched well.
Yeah, you know what? His off-speed stuff was better today than it's been, especially after the first inning, and he got ahead of hitters, and you know. But mainly, he just competed. I mean, he wants the ball and he wants to win, and even when he came in, it was 4-1. You could tell. I mean, he's still out there battling. So he just gutted it out for us today.
For Forsythe, it was the first win of the season. His 11 strikeouts were a new career high. He says it feels good to get that first win out of the way.
This is the first win of the season. I've been trying to get it for about 6 games now, I think. This has been the toughest win of my life, but it was a big time for us to win this game today. Start off conference right and hopefully keep it going for the rest of the weekend, the rest of the season.
The Saluki offense battled back after being down 4-1 after 2. A 3-run home run from Austin Montgomery tied the ballgame up at 4. Bradley would take the lead in the 6th. But senior Jordan Syverson put SIU in front for the first time with a 2-run blast over the left center field wall. Syverson, who has been in a slump as of late, says the team never felt bad about being down to the Braves.
I won't say a change. I mean, we were off the whole time. I think we were pretty confident even when we were down 1 run. I don't think it was a big change. But, I mean, you just get pretty excited, though, in that situation. Everybody did.
Todd Eaton would come in to close the game for SIU. He would throw a perfect 9th inning and give the Salukis the 6-5 win. Chris Saratella, Austin Montgomery, and Jordan Syverson all homered for the Salukis. A total of 4 players from SIU finished with multi-hits. Head coach Ken Henderson says his team fought back and they were able to come away with the big victory.
Just a completely different attitude and demeanor in the dugout today. I mean, this was a team that, you know, we got down 4-1 and everybody kept battling. It wasn't necessarily always pretty, but that's what I challenged them to do, and they did it. They battled, they challenged, or they competed real all day long. So that's a great job.
The Salukis and Braves will play game number 2 of a 3-game set later today. Cameron Maldonado will get the start on the bump for SIU. First pitch is at 2 p.m. Now with a look of the Saluki softball team and their upcoming series against the Creighton Blue Jays, here's Daniel Valle.
After coming off a 3-game sweep over the Wichita State Shockers, the SIU softball team comes back home to take on another conference rival, the Creighton Blue Jays. The red-hot Salukis have emerged as one of the best teams in the Missouri Valley Conference by showing off their potent bats in the first 22 games of the season.
The Salukis hold the best overall offense in the MVC with a .308 team batting average, also leading the league in runs, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, and home runs. With that being said, however, the Blue Jays have been right on their tail offensively, as they are number two behind the Salukis in numerous offensive categories. SIU coach Carrie Blaylock addressed the issue of how to get a win against Creighton.
They can hit the ball. You know, we need to neutralize them. We need to pitch well. I feel confident that we're going to, you know, we usually hit the ball pretty well, play good defense, but we're going to have to pitch well because I think they're second in the conference in hitting next to us. So we need to be able to do that kind of thing.
The bats have certainly carried the team, but their pitching is far from extraordinary, as the Salukis are second to last in team ERA with a 4.59 ERA. The last time these two teams met was in 2010 at the MVC Championship game in Des Moines, Iowa. The Salukis came out on the wrong end of that game as they lost a heartbreaker 3-2. SIU will also be playing 10 of its next 13 games at home. Coach Blaylock says it is important to do both well at home and on the road.
Well, I think one, anytime you're at home, you know, you feel fortunate because we tend to play pretty well at home. I think the kids know what it takes, you know, to win a conference championship, and that's you need to play well both places, on the road and at home. And, you know, Creighton's a rival of ours, and I think it, you know, it doesn't hurt having a little bit of extra, you know, momentum going into the game.
The Salukis are 4-0 at home after sweeping all their games at the Coach B tournament a couple of weeks ago. When asked about getting some revenge on the SIU's biggest rival, Coach Blaylock denies that SIU has only one big rival.
You know, I don't think it's Circle, but I think Creighton and Illinois State, the reason why they're rivals is you have so much respect for them because they're good and, you know, they play you tough every time. And both of those teams, we understand that you have to play well against nine other teams. But, you know, I think the kids are so excited to be home because we've been gone so much. And we get to be home for, I think, 25 days. And that makes a big difference.
They will play Illinois State starting next Friday at home for a three-game set. Yesterday's weather in Carbondale was a big issue for many people, and it could affect today's big matchup. Coach Blaylock says that it's no big deal if it does rain during the game today.
If worse comes to worse, you know, you try to sneak in one tomorrow and two on Sunday. That's what the league says you have to do. So I really believe we'll get at least one, if not two. Like today, it was supposed to storm all afternoon, and I know baseball's playing, and I know we were able to practice. So we feel good about it.
The weather at game time later this afternoon will be 63 degrees with a 60% chance of showers. So if you're thinking of going to the game, bring an umbrella. The first pitch of a scheduled doubleheader will be at 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. today at Charlotte West Stadium. For Sunrise Sports, I'm Daniel Valle. And coming up next, we'll take a look at the Saluki women's golf team and their recent run of success. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio, your NPR station.
Hey, Saluki fans, this is J.C. Lambert, All-American thrower from the men's track team at SIU. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
The SIU track and field team heads down to Nashville this weekend for the Vanderbilt Black and Gold event. Although they do not get as much attention as some other Saluki sports, the one main consistency on campus has been the track and field team, and they look to keep up their consistency as they get set for the outdoor track and field season. Two main reasons for the dog's success has come from the mighty arms of J.C. Lambert and Geneva McCall. Lambert and McCall earned All-American honors at the NCAA Indoor Championships earlier this month. Lambert finished second in the country in weight throwing and knows that he may have missed his one shot of winning a national event.
At the time, it kind of bothered me, kind of hurt a lot. It's probably my one and only chance I had at NCAA national title. It's my one shot and I lost by 2 inches.
As a Harrisburg native, Lambert had extra motivation to try and bring some joy to a city that had lost nearly everything in a tornado earlier that month.
It'd be pretty nice, you know, if I can get my town behind me for the national championship. So that really motivated me to do something for my hometown, even though I didn't bring back the championship. You know, I don't think anyone's ever really been second in the nation from Harrisburg that I know of.
During her indoor championship event, McCall took home first place in the weight throw, and she is not at all worried about someone trying to take her as the number one women's thrower in the country.
I just feel normal, go out there, train hard, throw far, and if I do have a target on my back for other people, then so be it. I feel like the rabbit. You know, they just got to keep running so the dogs won't get them.
For most athletes, placing first in any NCAA event of any sort would leave them feeling content, but McCall says she is never done with trying to do better.
My individual expectations is so high I can't say them out loud. It's actually ridiculously high. Unattainable is how I like to set my goals, so I always have something to work for. But as far as outdoors goes, my expectation is to work harder than the pack and come out number one.
The men's track and field team won the Missouri Valley Conference Indoor Track and Field Tournament this year. It was their first in 20 years. But that is in the past, and Lambert knows that he and his teammates need to stay focused if they want to bring home an outdoor conference championship as well.
I'm hoping that they'll stay focused. I know it's a bunch of young group of guys. It's very exciting, first time winning 20 years, and hopefully they keep their eye on the prize for outdoors and just don't think indoors is good enough, which I count on them to, you know, keep working hard, which they will.
Now with a look at the Saluki women's golf team, here is Logan Lee.
Confidence is high among the Saluki Women's Golf Club going into this weekend. The team is coming off a tournament title this past weekend at the NIU Snowbird Invitational in Tampa, Florida. While there, the Saluki women started off the tournament weak, but picked it up as day two came.
If we come out, we had a really good second round team score. Our first team score round was a little shaky, but the second round was our third best of the season. And if we can continue to play like we did in the second round at the Snowbird, we can be successful going into this weekend.
That's the voice of first-year head coach Alexis Mihelich, who in only seven tournaments at the helm for the Salukis, she's already earned two first-place team victories. The first came at SIUE in September. A lot of the success is due to the play of senior Meg Gilley. Gilley carried a 147 in the two rounds in Tampa to earn herself first place as an individual on the weekend. It was Gilley's second time receiving first place this season. Senior Alicia Matthews says that her fellow senior really carried the load at the Snowbird.
Well, Meg obviously was outstanding. She played great, so we're all really proud of her. None of us really played that great the first round, me included. I actually had one of my worst rounds, but we all brought it back the second round and came from fourth to first. So, I mean, that was a really cool win for us because when we got told that we won, we're like, wait, what? Really? So that was exciting.
The group will be looking to carry that success into this weekend's home tournament, the Saluki Invitational. Sophomore from Marion, Cassie Rushing, says there's plenty of motivation for this weekend.
As a team, you know, we're coming off a win, so I think that we'll be, you know, kind of more kind of motivated from that and just to try to get two in a row and try to defend our championship from last year. We won. So a little bit more competition this year, so hopefully we can stand our ground and keep the championship.
17 schools will be in Southern Illinois for the event, including Iowa out of the Big Ten, as well as 9 schools from Illinois. Mihelich says they'll really need to step up their game if they want to repeat their title.
We would need to really, shoot around 300 to 305 to be competitive at home.
Rushing said that having the tougher competition helps her level of play on the course.
For me personally, if there's, you know, better players in the field, it kind of motivates me more, keeps me more focused. So, yes, I think it'll kind of help us play a little bit better.
Last year, the team shot 319 and 320 the first 2 days at the event on their way to their first title at home since 2008. Matthews added some words of encouragement, courtesy of former coach Diane Doherty.
I mean, obviously, we want to win. With our old coach Diane, we were always told, like, whose doghouse is this? This is our doghouse. So we really want to go out there and win in our own doghouse and be able to win 2 years in a row would be great. Maybe have an individual win or two. That'd be awesome.
The tournament will kick off tomorrow morning from Hickory Ridge Golf Course in Carbondale. Each player will play 18 holes of golf on both Sunday and Monday, with a shotgun start at 9 o'clock, kicking off the action each day. We're going to take a look now at the other sports in action this weekend in Saluki country. With the help of the Saluki Pep Band, this is our Campus Tour. Saluki men's tennis picked up a 5-1 victory over Chicago State yesterday to improve to their fourth win of the season. The Salukis got 5 wins out of their 6-man rotation, including in the number one spot with Brandon Flores. The number two spot, Martin Admiral, was the only Saluki to not pick up the victory. With that win, as I said, the Salukis improved to 4 wins on the season. They'll play Vincennes today at University Courts or Sports Plus, weather depending. That one will start at 2 o'clock. Saluki Track and Field starts their outdoor season today. They're at the Black and Gold Invitational at Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee. Also, Saluki Baseball is in action today at A. Martin Field, and Saluki Softball hosts Creighton at Charlotte West Stadium. That was your Campus Tour. We're going to take break number two on the morning here on Sunrise Sports. Stay tuned. We're going to talk John A. Logan Sports and the NFL. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio, your NPR station. What doesn't kill
you makes you strong. Good morning, sports fans. This is Saluki Track and Field coach and U.S. Olympian Connie Price-Smith. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
Welcome back to Sunrise Sports. Curtis Sheen here with you. Have Michael Roberts and Rob Jesselson, and we're going to talk about the NFL. The NFL's been going through a lot, most notably the Saints with Bounty Gate. Greg Williams, defense coordinator now at St. Louis, he's actually banned from the game. No timetable set when he's going to come back. Sean Payton for the Saints, he's out for a whole year, and the GM for the Saints is out 8 games. The fines aren't done yet. Roger Goodell is probably going to hand down some fines to former players like Jonathan Vilma. And we still don't know who the snitch is. NFL Network analyst Warren Sapp said it was former Saint tight end Jeremy Shockey, who's now in Carolina, but who knows that to be true. With all the stories out in NFL, Michael, what is the biggest thing that has caught you about the National Football League in the offseason?
Well, it's got to be the Saints bounty program, because it's like such a big thing. It's not just saying, hey, if you hold this running back under 100 yards, we'll give you $1,000. No, if you take this guy out of the game on a stretcher, we'll give you $5,000. That's not right. The point that I don't agree with the punishment is, now that United States Senator from here in Illinois, Dick Durbin, is trying to form a special Senate committee in investigating bounties in sporting events. That, I seem, is like taking it a little bit too far, somewhat similar to the congressional congressional hearings on steroid abuse with Rafael Palmeiro, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. And another thing is like big free agent signings. The Bears, Rob's team, they got Brandon Marshall at wide receiver. And now they even got Michael Bush, which has Matt Forte very upset. And on another side, on the NFC North, the Packers signed veteran center Jeff Saturday to anchor that offensive line, especially after Scott Wells signed with Seattle. Rob, what do you think, especially about the new signings in the NFL?
Well, I think that the Chicago Bears are going to have a new look come next season, and I think it's going to be for the better. I mean, you bring in a top receiver in the league in Brandon Marshall. Yeah, this guy has some issues off the field, and coming to Chicago, he's in the middle of some legal problems right now. But he'll be a huge addition to that Bears offense. And the thing about Brandon Marshall is he's already played with Jay Cutler. They were both in Denver. Marshall had career years there in Denver with Cutler throwing him passes. And then you look at other receivers on the Bears. You see Earl Bennett. Earl Bennett is another guy who has played with Jay Cutler in the past at Vanderbilt when they were in college. So you look at Cutler and his chemistry that he should have with his receivers for next season. It should be there. They should be already clicking. Now, you look at the rest of the offense. Jason Campbell was signed on to be the backup quarterback to Jay Cutler. We saw when Cutler went down last year, Caleb Haney really wasn't good enough to get the Bears into the playoffs. They were in a playoff spot when Cutler went down. Haney came in, couldn't get the job done, and we saw how much not having a backup quarterback hurt the Bears. Jason Campbell, he provides a good backup to Cutler in case Cutler does go down with another injury. Now, the next thing that happened later this week was the signing of Michael Bush, a big third down back. He can pick up those tough yards in third down situations. And they're giving him a 4-year deal, and I believe it's worth $14 million. And then you have Matt Forte, an all-pro running back, a Pro Bowl running back, who is saying, you know what, we were just in contract talks for the last year, and we couldn't come up with anything because you guys said you weren't going to pay me. So the Bears took the easy way out, franchise tagged him, and now Matt Forte is saying, you're going to pay my backup big bucks, but you can't get a deal done with me. So, I mean, if you're Matt Forte, you can understand why he is upset with the Bears. It should be interesting to see. I mean, there were a lot of guys who were franchised. Drew Brees was franchised by the Saints. I mean, the Saints right now are in a world of hurt with the bounty gate. That'll be interesting to see. But otherwise, Curtis, I mean, there have been some big moves. The San Diego Chargers, they got rid of Vincent Jackson. But other big moves in the league here are going to change the face of a lot of teams come next season.
Talking about changing the face of a lot of teams, we talked about it. Michael talked about it when he said Jeff Saturday is going to the Packers. How about the new face look in Indianapolis Colts? This franchise over the last decade with Peyton at the helm and all his receivers, and now it just seems like everyone is fleeing. So Peyton goes to Denver, and that leads with fan favorite and Tim Tebow going to New York. And the New York Post the other day had the Statue of Liberty doing the Tebow. So, Michael, out of everything that's happened with Peyton going to Denver and now with Tim Tebow going to the biggest media city out there in New York, what have you taken away from the Colts, the Broncos, and the Jets re-signing Mark Sanchez to a 3-year extension, but then trading a 4th and a 6th round pick for Tim Tebow?
First off with the Colts, one thing, they better hope Andrew Luck is as good as ESPN has been saying that he is, because they're going to need a quarterback to have a mediocre season this year. With Denver's treatment of Tim Tebow, I think it was completely unfair. During the season, John Elway went on the air and he said, Tim Tebow is our guy. We're going to let him play. We're going to let him loose. We're going to let him do what he likes to do because Tim Tebow is our guy. Now, during the offseason, for this young kid who's only been in the NFL for a couple years, you say, all right, kid, get out of here. We got an experienced guy coming in. Thanks for bringing us to the playoffs anyway when we were in the basement at the beginning of the season. If I was Tim Tebow, I would have been, you know what, forget you, Denver, forget you, Elway. I'm going to go find a team that suits my needs.
Absolutely. And then you look at the New York Jets, and like you said, Curtis, they signed Mark Sanchez to an extension. Now, this is a Mark Sanchez, a quarterback that New York Jets fans aren't too positive about. You know, he has some games where he looks like he can be the next franchise quarterback. Then on next Sunday, he comes back and plays a subpar game. So Jets fans, they never know what to expect out of Mark Sanchez. And this is a guy that they traded up to get early in the first round of the NFL draft a couple of years ago. Now they sign Tebow. Well, they trade for Tebow, excuse me. Another guy who's a question mark every Sunday. He might go 2-for-8 on a Sunday, but still he wins football games. That's the weird thing about Tim Tebow. And the Jets, they have a defense that can carry him and make him look good like they did in Denver. It'll be interesting to see. It wouldn't surprise me if Tim Tebow's the starting quarterback by the end of the year. Wouldn't surprise me if Mark Sanchez starts all 16 games. I don't know. It's going to be a whirlwind with Rex Ryan, Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez, and the rest of the New York Jets.
I think the city of New York is not a bit positive on anybody. But Saluki football news. Pro Day for the Salukis is March 29th, so watch out for Cam Fuller and Joel Hampton participating in that.
It's that time once again where we shift gears and move the attention to all things involving John A. Logan College athletics. We call it the Volunteer Minute, and here we go. Courtney Sislagi is this week's John A. Logan College featured player of the week, and for good reason. The John A. Logan College softball team has now won 8 straight games after sweeping a doubleheader from Spoon River Friday, 12-0 and 4-1. The Volunteers now stand 9-3 on the spring. Sophomore Dakota Canope was the winner in Game 1, shutting out the visitors on 2 hits through 4 innings of work. She also struck out 5 and walked 1. Freshman Sarah DeRosa pitched the final inning, recording 3 consecutive outs. Offensively, the Vols plated 4 hits in the second inning, keyed by a bases-loaded double off the fence by Canope, and 6 more in the third to break the game wide open. In the second game, Marissa Montgomery tripled, Courtney Sislagi and Courtney Crawford walked. There were 3 errors, allowing Logan to score multiple runs, and Anna Duda ripped a single to account for the additional run. Montgomery and Canope each finished with 2 hits, Megan Etchison had 1. In Game 2, freshman Sydney Keel picked up the win. She worked 4 innings, allowed 4 hits and 1 run. She also struck out 3. Sarah Malinowski hurled the final 3 innings, allowing no runs on 2 hits. Duda also hit a solo homer for the Vols in the 4th, while Sislagi hit a 2-run shot over the left field fence in the 6th as her first career home run. The Volunteers will host St. Louis Community College in a doubleheader today, beginning at 1 p.m. Bringing you this Volunteer Minute, I'm Michael Roberts for Sunrise Sports.
Take out those dancing shoes, because that swing music means it's time for our quote of the week. Well, winning a national championship is the dream for all athletes, no matter what sport it may be. But most people come nowhere near that goal, and only an elite group ever achieve it. Saluki athlete Geneva McCall won her second career national championship earlier this month in the weight throw. When asked about how she felt about being the best in the country, McCall's answer was not what most would expect from a national champ.
I felt normal. I did exactly what I was supposed to do, so there's really no excitement to come out of that.
Well, Geneva, no matter how you feel about winning a national championship for the second time, it appears that you have a bright future in the sport beyond college. That was our quote of the week.
It's time to bring back a portion of our show where we like to dig a little deeper into the sports world to bring you something a little more strange and out of the ordinary. Something that would bring legendary sports broadcaster Mel Allen to say,
"How about that?"
Saluki fans, if you think you have it rough, you may need to think again. SIU tennis defeated Chicago State yesterday at Sports Blast in Carbondale, giving them their fourth win of the spring season. The amazing part doesn't have to do with the Saluki win, it's with the Cougar loss. Chicago State has now lost 58 straight tennis matches dating back to 2009, where they won four matches that season. After knowing this, I don't feel bad for Southern anymore for the lack of success we've had lately. 58 losses. Wow. Simply stunning. Mel, any thoughts?
How about that?
Well, that about does it here for us on Sunrise Sports. But as always, before we go, we have a few people we need to thank.
That's right. We need to thank Logan Lee, Michael Roberts, Danny Val, Sam Bond, Brad Palmer, Jennifer Fuller, Jeff Williams, and the entire WSIU radio staff.
That's right. This show would not be possible without any of them. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to send us an email at sunrisesports@wsiu.org. You can also check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. You can also hear this edition and all of our other shows. Check out our new webpage at wsiunews.org. From there, scroll to programs and click on Sunrise Sports. So for Curtis, Michael, Danny, and my co-host Curtis Sheehan, I'm Rob Jesselson saying enjoy your weekend.
And enjoy the games.